And now, Ben Bailey.
Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Welcome to our study of the book of Hebrews, this book which exalts Jesus as supreme, as perfect. The Hebrew writer is encouraging Christians who are thinking about going back into Judaism to stay faithful to Jesus. Christ is greater than anything under the old law, and you must go on to perfection as a Christian and not go back into Judaism. Hebrews 5, 6, and 7 are interesting chapters in the book. In chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the Hebrew writer wants to start a discussion about how Christ is greater than Aaron and greater than the Levites because he is of a different priestly order, the order of Melchizedek. But he has to stop right in the middle of the argument in chapter 5, verse 11 and say, I've got many things to say about this, and some of them are hard to understand, but he says, shame on you, because you're not ready for it yet. Then in chapter 5, verse 12, all the way through the end of chapter 6, he's going to make kind of a parenthesis here. An encouragement. You need to grow, you need to stop acting like babies, and you need to go on to perfection. Then he's going to pick up in chapter 7, where he wanted to finish his argument in chapter 5 concerning Melchizedek and how Christ is greater than the Levites. In today's lesson, we're going to notice the Hebrew writer's encouragement for us to go on to perfection and not give up on Jesus and give up growing as a Christian. In chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, he teaches these Christians that they need to stop acting like babies, and that chapter 6, then, they must go on to maturity or perfection in Christ. The problem is, some of these Christians had been members of the body of Christ possibly 30 years, 20 or 30 years. They weren't new to this. This is something they had obeyed a while back in their life. And the point he's going to make is some of you ought to be teachers, but you need to be taught again. Look at Hebrews 5, verse 12. Probably one of the strongest rebukes in all the Bible. Notice what the Word of God says. The Bible says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. By this time, you ought to be a teacher, he says. And yet, you need someone to go back to you and teach you the first principles of God's Word. This illustrates for us there is a time in the Christian's life when he ought to be able to be a teacher, not the one receiving the instruction all the time. There ought to be a time when we grow enough to where we can teach someone about the gospel. And in reality, isn't that what Jesus said we ought to do? All of us are to be teachers. Jesus said for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. The Bible teaches that even women are to reach a point where they can teach the younger women about godly mothers and godly homes and how to love their children. Titus 2, verses 3 and 4. In fact, the Scripture teaches that all of us are to be ready. Be ready always to give an account for the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. We're to stay ready, to be on guard, to teach someone about God and His plan of salvation. So the practical lesson for us is this. Ask yourself, how long have I been a Christian? How long have I been a member of the Lord's church? Maybe 20, maybe 30, maybe 40 years? And then ask yourself this. Can I teach anybody about the Lord? By this time, you ought to be a teacher. You ought to be able to teach someone about the one church. That Jesus built only one church, Matthew 16, verse 18. That denominationalism is not a part of God's plan. You ought to be able to sit down and teach someone the basic plan of salvation revealed in Scripture. You ought to be able to tell someone about the acts of worship and why we worship in a certain way and why other things are not authorized. You ought to be able to tell someone from Scripture how to live for Christ. In fact, the point is going to be made that if we cannot teach someone about Jesus, then we're still babes in the faith. By this time, you ought to be teachers, yet you need someone to teach you the first principles, the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. How would you think if you walked into someone's home, say some grown person, and they had invited you over for dinner, and there they sat at the kitchen table with a bib around their neck, drinking on a bottle. Well, if you saw a grown person like that, you'd think, I'm going to get out of here as quick as I can. They need to take this fella to the loony bin. Why? Because a grown person drinking on a bottle, dressed up in a diaper with a bib on, that's an image that is just odd to our mind. Now, let's transform that spiritually. How does God feel when people who are mature in Christ are still stuck on the bottle spiritually and still acting like babies? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3 tells us that the multitude, the panoply of problems that they were having in the book of Corinthians was due to the fact that they were still babes in Christ and had not matured. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, we're to desire the pure milk of the Word that we may grow by. It's true, we start out as a baby, but we take that milk and we grow and we mature. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says it's a continual progress. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so there becomes a point where we're no longer babes in Christ. We mature and we go on in the faith. In fact, the encouragement for some of us is we need to get off the bottle and move on to the meat of the Word. There comes a point we put the bottle behind and we move on to things that are more meaty, things that are deeper, things that will help our understanding, help us to grow in the knowledge of God. There's a passage in the Minor Prophets that teaches us about moving on and breaking up the ground that's not been fallowed, that's not been tilled yet. Hosea 10, verse 12 says this. Such an interesting passage. Notice these words from the Minor Prophet. The Bible says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Watch this. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Any farmer knows that fallow ground is that top shell of ground where the till has not cultivated yet. It's hard. Nothing can grow there. It hasn't been cultivated. We as Christians need to break up our fallow ground in the sense that we move off of the elementary principles of Christ and we move on to things that are deeper. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, launch out into the deep. How we need that encouragement for ourselves today. Let's move off of these things that are elementary and let's go on to perfection. Hebrews 6, verse 1. How then does a child of God go on to perfection and maturity to the point that he doesn't need somebody to take him by the hand like a baby and lead him along? Well, the way that we do that is we leave the elementary principles behind and we determine to move on to deeper things. Look at Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. The encouragement is move on to weightier matters. Notice these words. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. He says, in this we will do if God permits. The point is, you've got to move off of some of these things that you heard over and over again that you're very comfortable with. Move out of your comfort zone and move on to deeper things. Now, this requires us to be diligent Bible readers and diligent students of the Word. You cannot just stay with that which is easy. Oh, baptism may be easy, the laying on of hands, we've come to an understanding of how that occurred in the New Testament, repentance from dead works. All those are elementary principles. We need to move on to weightier matters. Grace and mercy and love of God and faithfulness and things that will really challenge us to open up our Bible and study. In fact, did you know that moving off the elementary principles and studying deeper things, exercising yourself is one of the greatest ways to do that? Hebrews 5, verse 14 says we're to exercise our senses to discern between good and evil. Hebrews 4, verse 12 following. We need to grow, to challenge ourselves, to do more now than we have in the past. But then there's another way that we go on to perfection, and that is we need to be sure and rid sin in our life. Make sure that our life doesn't have sin in it. Notice Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 4. The Bible says this, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. If we are really going to go on perfection, we've got to be sure and get sin out of our life. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, and in Hebrews 10, verse 26 through 29, that for certain people, it's impossible to bring them back, impossible to renew them again to repentance. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's keep it in the context of the book of Hebrews. These Christians are thinking about going back to the old law. The old law that is no longer in effect. The old law where there is no longer a sacrifice for sin that can cure man's problem. If these people leave Christ and go back to that, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. They cannot be saved under the old system by which men are not living anymore. And the practical application today, if men and women leave Christianity and leave Christ, where they go to another system of salvation, where they go back to the world, as long as they remain in that state, they cannot be saved. Now, they can come back and repent, but they've got to choose to do that. You cannot make them or force them. They have to make that choice. Friend, the Bible makes it clear that if a person sins and falls away, he can be forgiven. Look at several examples in the Bible. Acts chapter 8, for example. Simon the sorcerer tried to buy the gift of God with money. Now, there's a man who, right after obeying the gospel, immediately fell into sin. And yet, the apostles told him, you need to repent and pray to God that the evil thought of your heart might be forgiven you. Look at the example in Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son went into a faraway land and lived a wasteful life. And yet, he could still repent and come back to God. And so don't think this passage is saying that if you fall away, you can never come back. What it's saying mainly and in the context is if you try to go back to the old law and live under that, you'll never be saved as long as you're living that way. And if you live a life of sin and die in that, as long as you remain in that state, you can never be saved. And so the practical lesson, stay true to Jesus. Make sure if you're going to go on to perfection, you've got sin out of your life and you're trying to live a life that's faithful to God. And then the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 6, verse 9, that if we're going to go on to perfection, we've got to possess the things that accompany salvation. Look at this text, Hebrews 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner." It's the only time the word beloved occurs in the book of Hebrews. It occurs in almost every other book multiple times. But right after the strongest rebuke, probably in the whole Scripture, we find Him using a very endearing term. Beloved, we're confident of better things than you. We know you're going to do better. We want you to know we love you and God loves you. We know you're going to do better. And to do so, you need to possess the things that accompany salvation.